then open session for questions and comments. We'll start in Cape Town. We'll take a round of 5 questions. I'll start from the back.
Can I just say something, Nikki, before they start doing it? You will note that in the statement here, we deliberately left out all of the issues relevant to it. You left your time. We have left out all of the events which occurred on the day of the State of the Nation address. We've done so because what we were doing here is to give a report on outcome number 3, and we were following up the debate and the presentation by the President. Whatever questions are relevant to what happened in the House on the 12th of February will be questions that will be raised by yourself, and we are ready to answer questions. But I don't want you to believe that we left them out because we don't want to answer the questions. No, we're not ducking questions. We will be able to deal with those issues in the event you raise them, but that this presentation this morning was more about our program of action. So I just thought that I needed to clarify that.
Thank you for that, Minister. I'll start with Lady Debit. Introduce yourself in the open session.
Thank you, Narayana Lampak from Media 24 Newspapers. To the Minister of State Security, the jamming device that was used on Thursday evening to cut signals from mobile devices inside the building does apparently not have anything to do with low-flying aircraft. So one of the statements last night that was sent out was that suggestion made, and if so, what is the relation? And also, when are signals jammed when the President is in concert? And then secondly, on the same issue, why was the SSA involved in SONAR at all? Because according to the Intelligence Amendment Act, the SSA's mandate is state security, and that includes the protection of the state from acts such as terrorism, espionage, and serious violence directed at overthrowing the constitutional order of the Republic. And it specifically says it does not include lawful political activity, such as SONAR. So the EF, they threatened to embarrass the President, but not to overthrow the government. So if that is the case, then what was the real threat on Thursday evening? And under what law did the SSA get involved at all? Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Ivan Tana. I'm from the Department of Justice. I'm partly covered by Mariana and in your speech yesterday, you said that if there is a need to deploy the army in Parliament, let it be done. Have we reached a critical point in our institution of democracy that we can deploy the army? And have you done any level of threat assessment that would require the government to deploy the army because of the situation that has happened? And that's so much.
Hi, Bianca Capitoria from the Sunday Times. I just wanted to find out if this device has been used before and in what instances and the reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure that
whether the signal jamming device has been used before, in what instances, and the reasoning behind it.
Wendell from Reuters, the Minister, Masobo. Also, just if you could just confirm to us what independent intelligence you guys had gathered ahead of the public utterances from the EF that led you to this. And then secondly, in your opening paragraph of your statement last night, you say we wish to state that there was no executive or political decision. On the day in the House, witnessed by myself and others, what happened was that the Deputy President called an usher, he wrote on a note, the usher went directly to you. 3 minutes later, the signal was, as the Speaker said, the spam scrambling was unscrambled. So how does that work? I mean, obviously, the logical inference is that there was at least knowledge on your side and by the president's side, which indicates executive knowledge or political knowledge of the jamming device. What happens next time?
I'll take one more hand, the next will come in the next round. Mirella?
In the statement from the State Security Minister last night, you made reference to that point. Would the Minister or perhaps anybody else on the panel to advise us on what basis the intention has been established? My understanding is that there is no regulation. And if it is a cabinet decision, can we please have a cabinet memo establishing that joint during the week? And the other question is,
of our our rights and freedoms that we fought very hard for. The right to life, the issue of safety, and other rights that we are able to mention in our own constitution. What happened on the day, as part of our responsibility, we are assigned to do an assistance to be able to counter any measures that might affect this with the proper authorization by our national joints, because national joints, as my colleagues will explain, this is the mechanism where we come together, collaborate our efforts to secure those particular events. We deploy various instruments. We deploy bodies on the ground. We deploy equipment on the ground. This is not for the first time we deploy. But what are the operational reasons for various equipment? They will vary depending on the threat, because the technology we use is not the same. What happened then, there was no jamming of the signal, because if it was jamming, there was going to be a total shutdown. You know that there was a signal disruption. When we did the implementation of our own operational plan in terms of securing the event, then at that particular point, we started having glitches. Those particular glitches, they were happening at various points, depending where our equipment were, because we never had one equipment, and we never had one equipment to deal with other issues on the ground. Then other people received signals, other people never received signals. Even ourselves, we were sitting in the patients. There was a time when we had signals, there was a time when we had no signals. Then after the event, we took time to say, let's do our own investigation, because many of us were involved in securing the event. What happened? In my case, I've done my investigation. I know that my operators were on the ground. And in terms of law, just check the Powers and Privileges and Immunities Act. Go to Chapter 2 and go to Section 4. In Section 4, you will find it very clear to say what is our responsibility. We have a right to enter Parliament to execute our secret policy function. That will include the security cluster, that is your police, your national army, the defense force, including the intelligence services. Our presence there is not abnormal and will always be there. Then we have discovered that the timing in terms of management of the system, it went beyond that particular time that we had planned. And then we have discovered that there is that particular operational thing. And we are on record to say we regret the disruption of the signal. And it is something that we condemn. And it was not targeted to any person. That's why our apology is directed to the media, is directed to the people there that were in the house, because not only the media people that were affected, some media people that access, others had no access. But we are putting mechanisms to say, in terms of our operational guidelines, in our full investigation, we'll be able to say, was this error deliberate? If yes, what's the sabotage? If yes, what are we going to do? And I've issued an instruction to say those operators must actually operate more diligently. And if they've done this exercise before, remember, securing the state event is not for the first time. Even when you have the heads of state all over the world, you know, you will have some of the glitches. When we're attending the memorial service of President Mandela, you know what happened when President Obama is there. We will always have our devices placed at strategic points to secure you and secure our country and its interests. But the issue is to say, let's do our work in cars. When we have indicated that in terms of whether our involvement has dealt with that particular question, the issue that we used this step before, the step is not about jamming. The steps that we've used before and the steps that we're going to continue to use, we are going to continue to do risk assessment and threat analysis in terms of our mandate. We are going to put countermeasures and systems, both in terms of technology, both in terms of human people on the ground, because people are always around us. That's their job. So that we can be able then to be able to deal with this question of the emerging threats that are becoming more complex to deal with the issue. They will be there. If we make a mistake, we will own up. If they've done a good job, like securing the state, for example, that event went so well. Our principals, our guests, were able to secure it from an intelligence point of view, supported by our colleagues. And I want to thank those men and women who are working for the state. This is one isolated incident that we regret. The security threat, you will not be able to speak to them. But one of the biggest threats we face in the West right now, yeah, in the intelligence sector, our challenges have become complex. There is a matter of terrorism. You will never know when it's going to hit us, what kind of mechanisms and forms it's going to take. There is too much advancement in technology. People can use technology to be able to keep people sitting in one capital without putting boots on the ground. Therefore, in, from a technological point of view, we must be able to deploy whatever makes us to be able to do those detect on time. If we detect on time, we want to do the prevention. But if it happens, we must be in a position to continue. That's why there are issues of cyber terrorism, cyber attacks. Even people these days, you know, there are unmanned machines that are flying all over that can kill people. They're very good on how USA actually managed to track Osama bin Laden. And they continue to do. Some of them, they're flying at high rate above the radar and below the radar. Therefore, to secure South Africans is not an easy task. We need to be able to be the task. The issue about the note. I'm happy that actually we are clarifying. I did receive a note. Like, it's not abnormal to receive notes in their house. When I received the note, I did read the note. Then it's on your own observation because there is a funny person here who claims that I left the team. I never left the team. There was a case in Russia to say, let's investigate what's happening. That investigation, when it was made, you never saw the Minister of State Security leave the state to go and investigate after the instruction was issued. But the most important thing, I did receive a notice of my private discussion between myself and the Deputy President. Remember, there is nothing wrong to brief political principles, like Parliament was briefed on the security plan. But we don't get briefed on operations. We don't get briefed on operation. What are we going to do in terms of operation? We have to be assured because we provide all the leadership to say, is the event secured? Do you have the contingency measures? Remember, if we're going to start to be involved in operation, it means we have no confidence in the men and women who are securing all of us. Those men and women that are there, they have confidence, they have capability, I mean, we have confidence in them. They have always discharged their responsibility to the best of their abilities. But they too, they are human like all of us, they do make mistakes. Therefore, I'm glad to have an opportunity to clarify that particular issue. In terms of ICASA, there is no problem. ICASA has indicated that with an authority to possess equipment to secure the country. They are very clear on that. But we must be able just as I said to say, we are worried that there are many people who have a number of devices that does disrupt signals. You know that if you have parked your car in a car park, some people are causing jammers. There are many people that this thing is available on them, but we should be able to deal with that. But as I've said, the Comrade Chair, the incident is highly regretted. We are acting on it internally, and we can assure that if going forward, we will never negate the responsibility to secure the country vis-a-vis the other rights that we enjoy in the Constitution.
Thank you very much, Minister. I think there was a question about net joint. Now, net joint basically is a reflection of the, broadly speaking, the mere fact that an event such as the state of the nation address is essentially a multidisciplinary kind of event. It's a state event, and therefore, in the context of that, the question of joint operation is inevitable in a sense. So, and it's not necessarily true strength or peculiar per se, because it's not the first time that we have had net joints working on the question of the state of the nation address, for instance. I mean, if the state of the nation address, given that there are state functions, you've always had the collaborative effort from all security agencies and other agencies, of course, in making sure that nature of deployment is also informed from an operation.
by the work that essentially takes place from the UN. And then later on, the point of view. There was a question about the. What was it? I think there was a question about the question of the army deployment. I'm not sure in what context, but it was always the presence of the army for defense in the activities of the state of the nation. I know that the question that you referred to is also to respond. I find it strange because we've always had the army in particular. I don't know why I'm saying so. We probably respond to that now. I think he said it arises out of the speech. So, yeah. But the army presence in Parliament during the State of the Nation address, it has always been a common feature.
On the matter of the, I want to add on what the Minister of Police has said, the fact that this is a matter. Colleagues, let's all remember, there's never a time when we have a national event in the country and we have not established a national event. Whenever we have a national event, you have an obligation to establish the next joint. Because that's the only forum where all security services come together, plan together, make sure that there's collaboration in their efforts to protect the country and the nation. Now, the question is why do you have the next joint? We always do. Because we've never had an occasion where we have not established a network. Now, more so in this instance, because we now have three arms of the state coming together under the same roof. You have the legislature, you have the judiciary, and you have the executive under one roof. So, obviously, state of the nation has to be as secure as much as possible. And as I say, when we had 2010 here at the World Cup, we had a network. People may not have known about it. It's not always that people know about the network. Once you identify, like we're going to have an African Union summit, we're going to be hosting it in June. Of necessity, we have to establish the next joint. If only to make sure that all of the head of state who are going to be in the country here after that. And let's not pretend as though there was no justice. There was a threat. A threat to disrupt the state of the nation. Now, in our analysis, all of us, we may vary in the conclusion, in the analysis as to the extent of the threat. We may differ on that one. But there was a threat. And the threat was made. It was in the media. It was everywhere. And you wrote about it. You informed us about it. As a man. So, of necessity, we had to establish a network, as we always do. But also, can I just point to the fact that all operations are intelligence. There is no police service which can embark on any operation without first collecting, gathering information. All operations are intelligence driven. Because if you have an operation that is not driven by intelligence, then you're going to run into problems. You're going to commit mistakes. So, I'm just saying there was a threat, and we took note of that threat. And of course, whatever planning by the operatives, your commissioners, your police, your whoever else is part of the network, state security, etc., they plan. happened on the basis of our normal planning, which we do when we have an event of this kind, but also the planning, of course, for the threat which had been made, which you wrote about, because we got to know about it from the media. Now, obviously, one of the responsibilities of any intelligence service is to therefore make sure that they verify the information which they receive, even from the media. Is it true or is it not true? Do we have the right information or not? And once you verify that information, and it turns out that, in fact, there is a real threat, whatever the nature of the threat, you then deploy accordingly. Now, in this instance, I'm not making reference to the jamming of a cell phone. If anything, as a state, and I should say this, and as an executive, we are very committed to make sure that South Africans receive all information and actually listen to the state of the nation address. We are transparent about it. One of the reasons why the president decided to change the time, for instance, from 11 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the evening, it was because of this commitment, because we realized that most of the South Africans are disadvantaged. Most of the South Africans are at work when the president delivers the honor. So then the decision was taken that let's rather have it at 7 o'clock so that all South Africans can watch the state of the nation address, not for the president parade, which is so referred to, more about what the president has to say in outlining the vision for the year, but also by giving the report about work which has been done by government the previous year. So it's more really, SONA is more about what the vision of government is. Remember, we're emerging from a Lefuta, and that Lefuta took very critical and pertinent decisions which must be conveyed to South Africa. And SONA is about that. And of course, if you say SONA should not be protected in the manner in which it was done, I think that is unfortunate. I sincerely believe, because I've seen in the papers as well, that there's an issue about deployment of police in the National Assembly. And I want to take people back to the event of the 12th of February, where the speaker sends a call on the ashes, present in arms, under parliamentary protection. I listened very carefully. And as they were coming in, when there was clear demonstration to the fact that people were ready to charge, at the parliamentary protection center, the speaker then said, I now call on the authority to assist. And that's what happened. That's what happened here. And in terms of the legislation, the rules, powers and privileges, there's a provision for that, Section 11, as you know. And in terms of the legislation itself, which governs parliament, there is a provision for that. And can I just also say that the intention was not to protect, and you saw it yourself, for yourself, there was no attack on members of parliament. The intention was simply to remove people who were refusing to leave National Assembly, because we had no intention whatsoever to attend the Sona. We had absolutely no intention to attend the Sona. All we knew, we were very determined that the president should deliver SONA. SONA is not about the president. SONA is not about the executive. SONA is about the people of South Africa receiving a message from government as to what the vision of government is. And therefore, we're very determined that we're not going to they were, afterwards, we were able to listen to the state of the nation about it. And the people of South Africa were watching it. Were able to listen to the state of the nation. I do want to say something about the defense force. I do want to say something about the defense force. The defense force role, mandate, it is the last line of the defense of the Republic of South Africa. The last line. The last line of the defense of the Republic, the sovereignty of the Republic of South Africa. At the chamber on Thursday, the threat was equal to the police and the parliamentary protection services. In that, our intention was simply to take the people out and keep them out of the assembly. If people do not want to listen to the corner, or people were bent on disrupting the corner. And we had the responsibility to do that. And we're not apologetic about that, but because there is no way in which we can allow all three arms of the state to come together. That was not an executive function. That was not an ordinary parliamentary function. Not that it makes it right when it is a parliamentary function. It was a great occasion where all arms of the state were gathered together. And we have a responsibility to protect them, by the way. We have a responsibility to protect all South Africans, to protect the state, to protect in particular this nation. And that is what we did. And I commend men and women who carried that operation with absolute precision. With absolute precision. Because the intention, in fact, they were not even armed. You didn't see them carrying batons or carrying them shambles. Nothing. They went in there for purely for purposes of the moving people were disrupting. Thank you. So in the case of the defense force, yes, there was a defense force, but the defense force was not in the chamber because that was not the purpose. The defense force was out there on parade. The defense force was up there in the what do you call this thing? Anyway, they were leading the parade. The defense force was part of the big meeting, all of the programs we normally see every year. But defense force was never deployed for purposes of getting involved in that kind of operation. Because the police and the parliamentary protection services, as far as we are concerned, are equal to the task. And indeed they were equal to the task. So there was no deployment here of, and there was no intention of deploying the South African National Defense Force in the chamber of the assembly. They were out there doing the work which they know best, but inside the chamber we did not deploy the members of the South African National Defense Force, but yes, we did deploy the police.
Thank you. say that you were addressed by one of them. It had nothing to do with what actually should happen in that situation, and because that is dependent on a concrete fact which I think the Minister of Defense has already articulated. Now, this is not unique to Parliament. It is actually a universal principle that covers all arms of state. If you take, for example, courts, when a court issues a court order, a court messenger would go and execute, or a sheriff would go and execute that court order. If the sheriff is prevented or encounters naturally, the police. Let's say theoretically the police, for some or other reason, are unable or prevented to discharge effectively. Then the defense force has to come, as the minister says, in the last line of defense. Theoretically, if the defense force has to be deployed in that situation, it has to be deployed. And we actually alluded to it, the common law matter. Which says that you know the rule of law has to be enforced even if the heavens have to fall, basically indicating that the rule of law has to be backed up by ensuring that when the state uses the might to ensure that the rule of law is actually upheld. Now that is that was the context. It was the context of the debate over a matter that had been raised politically in the context of parliamentary engagement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May I quickly check with Pretoria if we do have a question? I'll come to Cape Town briefly. Pretoria.
Thank you very much, Nicola. It seems like we don't have any question, Pretoria.
Before I take Cape Town, may I just alert you that we are running out of time. Secondly, the ministers have spent a lot of time on the corner, and I would appreciate to take a few questions that do not relate to the incidents that happened within the corner on the 12th of February. Can I be guaranteed that you're not getting guarantees on that one? Okay, all right. Okay, then let me start with the lady, I think she was the first one. Make the question short, please, so that we can move quicker.
Thank you very much. Annika Lawson from ENCA. A question for Minister Maslobo. Minister, I know that you are a man who knows a lot about technology and speaks in code almost. I feel if you could just unpack for us, please, the relationship between trying to close down airspace and the lockdown or the jamming of cell phone signal or signals in Parliament. So this seems to be very different to me. And the second question, please, is from Minister Nkleko.
would you tell us what the low sum was?
No, please go ahead. We'll take
you off that one.
No, no.
Okay, good. I would tell you. Minister, will you share with us what the note from the Deputy President said? And sharing with, will you confirm that it said, stop it. Thank you very much.
Angela from the newspaper. This is the only thread that media wrote about getting up to the show. Now, the threads are a question, and that is what you saw on the day members of the EFF asking questions. Is that the threat that led to all the preparations, all the plans that you made? Or was there any more threats that you found in your work as intelligence and ministry beyond asking a question? Can I also ask a question not about the Shona, but about Uganda? On the 13th of November, the National Assembly adopted a report on Uganda investigation and gave you the cluster ministry, the security cluster, 3 months to come back and say a lot of recommendations on what they should be going back to establish in Uganda. 3 months is now over. Can you find the report you are finding in Uganda?
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes,
sorry. Just a quick one from Mr. Masalan. That's the question I'm going to put to you. This is a sort of answer, but
we'll in a sense
The question of, I think it's 11, about black and white, who took that decision. I mean, that decision is also an operational decision. In the same manner that, as police would also decide that as and when we have a warrant to search your house, either we pick up in plain clothes, we are in uniform, and so it really depends on the number of the other factors and so forth. So it's an operational question, the question of how people needed to mess up, and that's the issue. I'm not sure of the data that was here from Mary Guardian. It's not here, is it? remember, the world has changed. There are matters of terrorism. There are matters of other activities that people are acting on. And you can't, when you have the most important event in the country, you don't do a full threat analysis. That's why if you look at the security plans, we're to cover, one, the whole area in Cape Town. Remember from the airport yourself when you came here, you could see, not for the first time, there is a state of the nation address. We're to actually ensure that the airspace is covered, so that nothing happens in our country, its integrity, sovereignty, and others. We're to cover the security plans. We can't be apologetic for doing our work to secure you. Because some people in our country, they will ask a difficult question. What kind of a state that can't protect citizens? What kind of a state that can't actually be in a position to protect its assets? I don't want to narrow the debate to the EFF. EFF has made a threat, no longer a threat. They've acted on the threat. They said they're going to do land invasion. They've done them. We have seen them, we have reported. Instead of condemning activities that are unconstitutional, that are illegal, where we put the country to be lawlessness, it's a matter that we're dealing with in the country. They've made a threat that they're going to disrupt one. That's what they actually did. How do you define the disruption? It depends. Let me have it. In other words, security forces or security cluster put all the measures. You don't even report that when they were in their house, given a clear order within the rules of our own legislation, they said leave the house. Someone decided not to respect the rules. When they say sending in arms, this honorable member was behaving dishonorable. The member actually becomes transient, and we don't condemn it. It can't be kind of that threat. We don't even report that those unarmed men and women, when they were enforcing a lawful infraction, they were hit with matarapas. People come with helmets. Helmets are very dangerous weapons. And when we try to secure people, one day someone is going to die in this country. When we're balancing this particular, there is no right that is affirmed. And we have to be able to find those particular balances. But as a minister of state security, working with other ministers around intelligence matters, we look at all the threats in totality. Whether foreign threats in various forms, whether threats that can be orchestrated domestically, and we're ready. And in terms of the plan, if I tick the box for these men and women who are working in the security cloud, I give them 10 out of 10. The incident I said is an incident that all the time when we do, it will not normally would be actually having features. Well, as I said, I'm not a minister who does operations, that I'm going to go through issues of the technology and issues of jargon. My people are better placed to do that. But what I can safely say to you is that when you are securing an airspace, there are things that happen within the radar. In terms of your capability to cover the airspace, you'll be able to cover that. But of late, in the world, people are so innovative that they've developed certain technologies that some of the current systems we have, we don't have the capacity to be able to detect. Some of them are the things that are flying below the radar screen. That's why some of the interception equipment as counter surveillance technical measures, you will put them, so when you send them, you can actually interrupt them. You know, if you want to detonate a bomb, we just need an equipment, and we need to do that. But I'm not going to get into the details because I don't operate. The assurance to the people of our country is very simple. We have done the best job we could, as we have always done, to secure all your events, that they remain peaceful. On this particular day, the threats were unprecedented, and all of us, there were people that even never, sometimes you will never be 100% know what the enemy is planning. That particular official on duty made that particular error. It's a human error. Let's allow a process internally in terms of our own laws and be able to close it. The note from the DC, please don't allow me to actually start to do things that I normally do. It's a private conversation between myself and the DP. if really some people are claiming to know their conversation, the conversation between me and the DD, you might ask. But the issue that was clarified, that funny man, I never went out. As some of you saw me, I said that. Therefore, whether I decided to go out and get the system to be able to stop the interruption, you know the instruction that was given. It was given to who, and the report came back. Let's not try to create a story that is not there. We can only assure you, we'll do our best and ensure that we balance our rights to access information. As I said, when we make mistakes, we'll regret and apologize and act on them. But don't send a message that we must not secure you. We'll always secure you, whatever means and measures that are necessary within our own legislation. The device, let's not talk about it. Remember, when the speaker says, I know that the secret forces were there, she knows because we went to join with the Parliamentary Protective Services. Whether what instruments were put there, wherever they were being put, therefore the security officials, they will know in terms of their own operation. I don't get into that operation. But the EFF issue with Western forces, I can't comment on that matter. But I know that we are facing threats either here at home and threats from external. The other past few days, you were asking me, are you safe from Boko Haram? These are the questions we must answer all the time. And assure you that we'll do whatever it takes. If indeed it does happen, will we be able to respond? But in terms of the EFF and other forces, maybe it's a story that if you know something, you will give me, and then I'll allow my people to follow it up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen of the press. Can I just, my parting thought to all of us is that I think as a country, after this kind of incident, we all need a moment of reflection. We need to talk. We need a national dialogue to engage across political lines about the do's and don'ts and how best to preserve this democracy. I think all of us, and even as security, as Minister of Security, for Security Services, including the security operators themselves, don't there should be no assumption here that we are happy about what is happening. No patriotic South African should be proud of what happened on the 12th of February. We shouldn't be. We should all hang our heads in shame. Because it is embarrassing that South Africa, I mean, I was reading the one of the international journals yesterday, it's a business journal, which reaches every business person all over the world. And the picture they had, there was a picture of the crime between the police and the police. So I'm just telling, I challenge all of us, Mr. Minister, I see you are here, that it's time for us to engage in a dialogue for purposes of building our country, of strengthening the nation building processes. Because that's what we committed ourselves to when we wrote that constitution. I'm sorry that you had to take long, Michela. We know that you have another media briefing. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.